You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And good morning. This is Rich Scuderi with another edition of Modern Design. Today I'm very pleased to have as my guest back again, Rutgers Landscape. Say good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, let's do weather and then we'll get started with our program. The computer is telling me that today it's mostly sunny with a high of 50 degrees. I'll believe it when I see it. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 31 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 62. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Thursday, there's a chance of showers, a 40% chance of showers with a low of 51. And Friday, showers are likely, 70% chance of showers with a high of 65 degrees. Well, that's probably a good segue into what we're going to talk about today. For those of you who are just waking up or tuning in to us for the first time today, happy April Fool's Day. It's supposedly spring out there. And I thought it would be very topical with the holidays this week to talk about outside, to get outside of your home and talk about things that we can do to improve outside. We've been in a long slumber, and my guests today represent Rutgers Landscape. I'm going to let you each one say who you are and tell us a little about yourself. Why don't we start with you, Jim?
Jim Brophy started Rutgers 30 years ago. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year.
Congratulations. And Chris?
Yes, Chris Lantini. I'm a landscape and pool designer at Rutgers, going on my my fourth year here and my second term. So I worked here also 10 years ago before college.
Wow, very good. Well, I want to start off by I noticed this morning when I was driving out to the studio for the first time, there wasn't like a mound of snow on each side of my driveway as I went down. It was like the luge for a couple of months going down my driveway. So now that the snow has dissipated, and once I get sort of to the areas outside of where I'm, I have a little topography where I am. Once I get down to a lower level, I notice that I'm starting to see bulbs pop up, believe it or not. And I wanted to start with what we can do now psychologically to say, okay, spring is coming. What can I do to get my property ready? So I want to start with some just general things right now. Now that there's a little snow left on the ground and bulbs are popping up, is it too early to turn the soil? What things can we start to do?
Well, it's going to depend on where you are on your property. On the southern parts, for sure, that are sun exposed, they've been ready for a few weeks. There's been a nice thaw out. If you're in the north, like I have on my front of my house, you may have to wait a little bit. I actually still have a little bit of snow.
Right.
But I'm one of the longest carriers of snow, I think.
It's amazing, even within our Hunterdon County, how much, depending upon where you are and the altitude, you know, and how the sun hits your property and your exposure, what the difference is as far as what's ready and available to you. I wanted to start by talking about what you have going on at Rutgers. I know you had a big event last Saturday where you can come, people could have came and met the...
We had a nice turnout. We had.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was what we call Meet the Designers. Myself and five designers that work for Rutgers were there.
I think three of them are named Chris, aren't they?
not quite. Okay. We do have a few Chris's.
There's a couple of Chris's.
But it was really a Q&A. Uh-huh. They had a PowerPoint presentation where they showed before and after designs.
Right.
We talked about what we call a design review, where no designs ever go out to the public unless the design team approves them. And we sit down once a day from 12 to 1. Mm-hmm. And we kind of went through the whole process of how we do a design and what comes up in the design review. Sometimes the designs change completely. Sometimes it's modified a little bit. But it's very interactive, and a lot of people stayed. It was quite long.
Right.
So much so that I asked the designers very nicely next time to please book your schedules. They all had appointments off-site, and they hung for a little bit. But we probably had 2 hours into this because people really stayed for quite a while. They were a lot of anxious gardeners.
Well, I think people are intrigued by it, and also because we feel like we've been held back in this winter slumber for such a long time. People are just hungry to get outside and to do stuff.
I had one woman. We probably had about 20, 25 people all told that showed up, and she actually said she was surprised that, you know, we didn't have more people because, you know, what are people doing?
It was still
30 degrees when we presented that.
But I think psychologically, when you put some flowers or something out there, it feels like movement, like we're going towards something. So I think that's very important. So let's start with pots. I know you guys just got a huge shipment of beautiful pots in. So anything interesting this year? What's in style? What's on trend? Anything that you see that people are going for or looking for out there for pots?
That's not my area of expertise. Chris probably has a little bit better idea on the pots, but we have so many to pick from.
Right.
Just lots of different styles.
Let me ask you a question. Is it too early to get your pots out there? What I did this week, what I see a lot, I drive around a lot, believe it or not, for inspiration because I work for a couple of realtors getting houses staged for open houses. And you know you have to sell a house when you sell a house. And if you have to sell a house in February, you have to make it look good on the outside too, which is kind of hard to do. And what I did notice is that most people still have their winter greenery. That is in December. They took, you know, a pine or whatever, and they stuffed it in the pots. And I see that dead pine wherever I look. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah,
see that there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it makes sense to wait until the last frost. I mean, obviously, if you're staging a house, that's important. You got to get something nice out there.
But, exactly.
You know, if you're cutting flowers or branches or right now, I mean. Red twig dogwoods are still beautiful, but if you've got flower and foliage out in your pots, you know, and you have a chance for a frost, they can easily decline with a cold night, which we still are intermittently having.
Well, so you were at April 1st right now. What I suggest, and most of my customers, I say to them is that let's get the winter greenery out. It's dead, yeah, and absolutely. Start with that. Is it too early now in this next week or so to start with something really hardy, like maybe like pansies for spring?
Yeah, absolutely. Pansies
not
are
too early.
Pansies are something you can absolutely put out in a small pot, and you obviously want to get some height in there too. So maybe mixing that with something that's mm-hmm. you know some like I said, red twig dogwood, something with some nice red branches might be something nice that you can do.
Anything else that's super hardy right now? You know, that's all I can really think of is that pansies will survive a frost. But right now, if you want to have some color. What else maybe could we put in a pot you think that would be hardy, just in case we have another snowstorm?
We have a lot of small dwarf Andromedas that are in bloom right now.
Okay.
We have witch hazel that's in bloom right now.
Oh, you know what? Witch hazel is a big thing for me. When I've always built my own houses. So this house that I live in now is the first house that I ever lived in that someone lived in before. And the woman before me was that owned the house was quite a good gardener. And she had a witch hazel tree on the corner of the property. And not knowing what it was, one day in February, I looked at the window, and this plant was blooming. I thought, what the heck is going on here? Now, most witch hazel I've ever seen is like yellow.
Right.
This one is orange. Mm-hmm. And through the snow, you see this bright orange. I was like, this is the best plant ever invented. I think I would have 10 witch hazel trees because there's something to look at in the winter.
Usually that's going to come out for you in January, too. This year, it's just so late.
Yeah, it was February.
We grow 3 or 4 different varieties at our farm, and there's just a gorgeous row of like hundreds. And there are different shades. There's yellow, there's orange, they're beautiful.
Right? Are there any other plant? Like, I was shocked. The first plant that I ever remember as a kid saying to show that the spring was coming was snowdrops, if you're familiar with what snowdrops are, and then also crocus. And I thought, well, okay, that's all there is out there. But there are a lot of plants that are early blooming, aren't there? One of the things that I like, and I've seen it in previous years, I've seen in your store, is Lenten roses.
Sure, hellebore.
Hellebores, yeah. They're beautiful. Although this year I haven't seen the mine come up yet.
Not yet. Heather is another good one that we have blooming, and that's an semi.
That's a really good one. Yeah. Our store was decorated beautifully with just masses of heather. I forgot about that.
I'm not actually that familiar with.
You know
heather.
It. It's heath is another name for it.
Okay.
It's either purples or whites.
Does
or
it have
blues.
A lavenderish like look?
Yes. Okay. Very tight, compact. It's a needle evergreen though. That's mm-hmm. the difference. It is a plant that'll last year round.
Now let's talk about the gardens. I know that my gardens are kind of a mess right now, and I'm very anxious to do something. In fact, I'm having a big party at the end of the month, and I want the outside of the property to kind of look like something. But I'm kind of scared at this point to even invest in doing anything.
Here's the secret. This is the time to do it. You don't want to wait until
that's what
it's
I want to hear.
Growing. You need to get out in your garden now and cut everything back.
Cut everything back.
There's exceptions, of course. Some of the hydrangeas are not going to need to be cut back. You don't want to cut them back.
But right.
99%. We have a lot of this on our website also, which is rutgersln.com. 99% of the plants can be cut back and should be now.
Okay.
Especially if you have a lot of people have an ailing evergreen this time of the year, especially if it's broadleaf like a holly.
Right.
And they can look very windburnt. What you want to do right now in the next week or two is get out there and cut it back severely. I mean, you can probably take a significant amount of growth up to a foot off of these plants. It will reflourish once we have prolonged temperatures, 50 degrees or more at night. It's going to be a little while in May, but if you cut them now, it's going to have a very full plant effect for you in a couple months.
So okay, we
don't
do have
wait.
We do have to take some commercials, but I want to go back into detail on what to cut down and what to clean up in your garden. We'll be back with more of Modern Design.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel, iron.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama's popularity is waning as his presidency heads towards lame duck status. This morning's Washington Post ABC News poll shows the president's approval down to 47%, slipping 3 points since January. Nike is joining a growing list of companies to speak out against Indiana's controversial religious freedom law. The company released a statement yesterday saying the law is bad for its employees and consumers. As it stands, the measure would allow businesses to refuse service to gays and lesbians if it conflicts with the religious beliefs of the owners. Severe weather is expected to smack parts of the Midwest and plains today. Meteorologists are predicting wind, hail, and lightning, including the possibility of isolated tornadoes across Nebraska. The wild weather comes a day after a similar situation struck a 1,000-mile stretch of the South. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey could face federal corruption charges as early as today. NBC4 New York reports that his campaign staff and Mercury Public Affairs were preparing for the indictment last night. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so you own a business and cash is tight. So what do you do when you need funds? Go to a bank? Yeah, right. Waste a lot of time, send tons of paperwork, only to find out you need to personally guarantee your home, firstborn, and everything in between. Or you can just call the Business Funding Group. Yeah, it's fast and simple, with a 95% approval rate and cash for any business purpose. Equipment, inventory, expansion, cash flow, payroll. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-684-5434. That's 1-800-684-5434. When you call, you'll find out how to quickly and easily easily get the cash you need, up to $1 million with no collateral, no app or upfront fees, and your credit rating is not a factor. Plus approvals in 12 hours and funds in 2 to 3 days. Call the Business Funding Group at 1-800-684-5434. That's 1-800-684-5434. This is by far the fastest and best business loan you can possibly get. Call 1-800-684-5434 now.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. I'm very pleased today to have my guys here from Rutgers Landscape, and tell us how we can, my listeners can find you guys. Where are you located?
Highway 202, Ringo's, New Jersey.
Okay.
And look for the big yellow chairs.
Are big yellow chairs out all year long?
They sure are. They're 30 foot tall. We can't move them.
Exactly. And then you had a website for us?
Rutgers, like the school, L as in landscape, N as in nursery.com.
Okay. And your phone number?
908-788-2600 or 800-422-6008.
Okay, great. And before we went to commercial break, we talked a little bit about what you can do maybe with pots to get some color in, and then we were transitioning to talking about when to cut things down. And I've always had a problem with this, because when you cut a plant back is really based upon the plant itself, and I would imagine that they vary depending upon the type of plant. And you were talking about when was the ideal time to cut things down. I noticed with my own property in the fall, when I have my fall cleanup at the end of the season, they cut my grasses back. Do you suggest that you keep the grasses through the winter and cut them down in the spring, or do you suggest that you cut them down in the fall?
I personally love them in the fall. That's what we call their flower. It's their plume. It comes out late September,
right.
October.
Well, no, I'm talking about like after Thanksgiving. They cut them back then.
Well, you know, it depends on the winter. If we get a heavy snow, it's going to take it down anyway.
Right. They go flat from the weight of the snow.
I just appreciate the structure and architecture they provide.
Through the winter.
I do. Yeah.
Is it bad for the plant at all?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So and your suggestion would be to keep the grasses and then cut them, because you have to the new growth or foliage, so you would cut them back now?
I would cut them back now, absolutely.
All right. So you hear that now's a good time to cut your grasses back or have someone do it for you. What else? What else as far as for getting ready for
spring?
Well,
an alternative idea that I practice at my own home, if you have a large enough piece of property and you were interested perhaps in saving some money on some of the maintenance that you spend every year if you hire someone, or saving your own back, I have a fairly large property which is fully landscaped, and I cut everything back and I leave it there. I literally cut it and I leave it. And in about 3 or 4 weeks, it all breaks down. It feeds the soil.
Right.
Provides fertilizer.
Oh, so when you say you leave it there, you leave all the cuttings.
I cut hundreds of grasses on my property.
And you leave them as so they become, do they become like fertilizer?
It does. It looks bizarre when it's first done. It looks like somebody just left and didn't finish the job. But in a couple of weeks with rain and whatever's happening, it all breaks down. It turns into a grayish almost mulch. And by the time you're actually outside near your grasses in spring, late spring, they're coming up. You don't even see it, and it helps feed your soil.
What else would you cut back right now in April?
Evergreens in general, all your broadleaf evergreens.
Okay. What's the difference between a regular evergreen and a broadleaf evergreen?
Well, broadleaf, just in real layman terms, it's just broader leaf, like a rhododendron, holly, azalea, where needle typically is like a juniper or a pine. These are just the texture of them.
Okay. So they're good to cut back as well. Now, you were saying what you shouldn't cut back right now. What would be something that would be dangerous to cut back or you could kill by cutting back now?
Most hydrangea.
Right.
There's a few exceptions.
Right. The arborens is the, excuse me, the native hydrangea, and those grow on, the blooms grow on new wood.
Uh-huh.
So you want to cut those back.
Right.
Some of the Asian varieties, the macrophyllas, they have... they bloom on old wood, so you don't want to touch that. And you can basically identify that if you don't have a tag on the plants in your garden by whether you see a bud now or if you don't. If you don't see a bud, it's usually okay to cut it back. If you do, you want to wait until after the bloom. But you know, rule of thumb for a lot of pruning is we want to keep all the pruning and get all that done before July 31st.
Okay.
If you wait and prune after that, what happens is new growth will tend to push, and you have a chance that you get a frost in the early fall. And what happens is that new growth won't have a chance to harden off,
right.
and It's not going to kill the plant, but it's not going to look very pretty.
Let's talk about frost and how it damages or kills plants. Are there plants that are particularly susceptible to frost? I would think maybe boxwoods.
Well, you know, most of the plants that we sell to the public are not annuals.
Right.
And before we get lost in the language,
right.
They don't die. They go dormant.
They go dormant, right.
And it's, you know, frost will create a period of dormancy.
Right.
Dormancy is typically the time you want to do all your pruning.
Okay. Prune during dormancy. That's something that I didn't know.
As a rule, you can start late November. We have a big farm where there's 60 acres where we get in there in the fall to get ahead of it, and we just start cutting back as much as we can so that we're not doing it in June or July. It's just too much to keep up with.
Right.
Plus, you can start to see any cross branches a lot better when there's no leaves on the trees.
Right.
But you have that dormancy period up until about, you know, maybe the middle to the end of April. Once things start to break open, it's really too late to do that pruning for the most part.
So I notice a lot of times people I love boxwoods. I'm in an area, as many of us in Hunterdon County are, where deer are just, you know, prevalent to say the least. And I just love boxwoods because they seem to stay away from them. They keep their shape. They keep their shape in the winter. I have never wrapped my boxwoods, but I see that people do wrap them, and often they wrap them in like a burlap. Do you suggest that they're wrapped? And if you did, what would you wrap them with? I mean, can you just kill a plant by wrapping it because you're suffocating it, if you will?
No. I mean, you don't want to leave it on too long in the spring. I mean, just like anything else, you'd have to take it off once the temperature became much more mild. My advice is I think it looks terrible and it doesn't present itself that well.
No, that's true.
My advice is put up with a little bit of the yellow. Get your plant to, if it turns a little orange on the tips, get it to acclimate.
Right.
At least a winter or two. It'll help the plant become stronger.
Right.
If you baby it too much and then just say one winter you don't do the burlap, the plant really thinks it had 3 years in Florida, which it didn't.
So it's like tough love a little bit.
Tough love. Uh-huh. Believe it or not, it's a good point to make that the last two winters, anybody whose plants have survived,
right,
and you really have to give them to the end of May. Right now is way too early of a call.
It's too early to judge, isn't it?
We have some holly that look completely dead.
Okay.
By the end of June, they're going to look fantastic.
Right.
It's just that plant. But what you'll find is that if it makes it through these kind of winters,
right.
We had a big publication come out that said Burr from this Pacific Northwest grower that we work with.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's got the best, hardiest stock 2 years in a row that he's ever had in 90 years of business.
Wow.
Because of the plants were able to get through those cold temps.
And then they probably thrive, right? Because
when they can grow up like that when they're young, they're going to be tough plants the rest of their life. And to get to the point moving forward, if you have a relatively young new plant, mm-hmm. and it's orange or yellow after a winter, a little bit on the tips, cut it back. Right now, you go out and you just take back 2 or 3 inches on all your boxwoods. In about a month, 6 weeks, they'll all be flushing out beautiful new green. It'll actually give you a fuller shape, and you'll have all light, new, beautiful growth.
Wow.
So get rid of it. You know, just cut it back would be what I'd say.
I tell you, I've learned a lot already today in this segment. So let's sort of recap a little bit. So what we should be doing now is taking our dead winter greens out of the pots. We should be looking to do something new that's hardy for spring. We should be cutting back our plants now while they're still in the dormant stage. Can bulbs go in the ground yet, or is the ground too hard still for bulbs?
Again, back to that southern-northern exposure.
Depends on where you are.
I would say 80% of people's properties could afford a bulb and be no problem to plant them right now. But maybe you have a north pocket where it might be a little frozen still. But
warmer.
For the most part, be no problem.
Exactly. And when do you think is a good time to start mulching?
We haven't seen it kick in yet. We have some avid gardeners always call early, and they're starting to. I mean, what we really need to do is dry out. And that's, you know, once you have all the snow we had, it's just the ground is thawing. You just don't want to go in your yard and with a wheelbarrow track and have a rut from that. And it's probably...
It's premature, isn't
probably
it?
Probably a few days away. I would think by next week, the ground... We have temperatures now, and this is what's critical, that are not going below 32 at night.
Right.
We're looking at the next 5 or 6 days at least.
Right.
Nothing's freezing. Because when we have that freeze and thaw every night, it just creates that mud and that oozing where you're in that bad cycle. As soon as we jump to where we never go below 33, everything starts to dry out and then you get in your yard. So I believe next week we'll be seeing a lot of mulch customers and planters.
What do you think we should start to see coming up at this point now that we're in the beginning of April? So we talked a little bit about snowdrops. We talked a little bit about crocus. You know, obviously some of the bulbs. I know my... daffodil bulbs are coming up. What else do you think we'll see starting to come up?
Sure, you get your daffodils, you get your hyacinths, soon you get your tulips.
Right.
All those will start to come in the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
And what you won't see for quite a while, or okay. we talked about before, your ornamental grasses that you cut back.
Right.
Even if you cut them back and get a head start in the fall, which right. I don't agree with anyway, right. but if you did it in the spring, they need a lot of hot temperatures. They
right.
need what I was referring to before, those nighttime temperatures, say 50 degrees or over.
Right.
And that usually is by the end of June, right when you're about to go in your pool. Your grasses seem to come out of nowhere, and you'll get 1, 2, 3 feet of growth in a week or so.
I have a question about grasses and maintaining grasses, and I don't know if it's a misnomer or not. The way grasses work, do they just continue every year to get wider and wider and wider? Is there some point that you need to split a grass? How is the longevity of ornamental
Most
grasses?
Most do get wider and wider.
Right.
Some replicate and just start throwing, are known for throwing
Shoots?
Seeds.
Okay.
Just they become invasive. They just start to grow all over the place.
So what's your general policy with grasses? I mean, do you get to a point that you have to, I mean, even take them out? I mean, some of my grasses are tremendous.
You have to account for the area when you plant, like what's it going to get to its full size.
Right.
It's almost like when you buy a butterfly bush. Everybody's right. probably familiar with that, and we love that.
Oh, but butterfly yeah. bush is a hot button for me. We're going to talk about that next.
It, typically, that's an odd plant, too, because it depends on the winter.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Some people tell you, that it'll say right on the label, cut it down to 2 inches every year.
Right.
And it'll grow back to 6 foot by 6 foot in one
right.
year.
Right.
Now, certain years, they can remain semi-evergreen. And they'll look pretty good. So you only need to clean them up a little bit. So
right.
the grass is a lot like that. You can cut it down to 6 inches. In 1 or 2 weeks of that nice hot weather, they're up to 3 or 4 feet. But they're not going to wake up. Everything in your garden is going to look great in May. And your grass is going to be sitting there looking like it's dead.
Can you split an ornamental grass? Can you subdivide it? How does the root structure work with an ornamental
Absolutely.
Grass?
Absolutely. We split them all the time.
And they do well?
Containers. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Grasses are very easy to take and very hardy.
Well, you know, I'm always trying to think our listener bases around the country, but being 100-centric, we have such a deer problem, thinking things that people that they can put in their gardens that are going to, you know, stay there, have visual interest, and also the deer are not going to, like, chomp them to death.
Yeah.
So ornamental grasses are great. Of course, boxwoods are great. There are just certain things. Hellebores, they don't seem to touch at all either. I've never seen them. Even new growth and stuff, they just walk around hellebores, so they seem to be a pretty good thing, too. And then is it a misnomer or is it truthful that the narcissus bulbs, that is daffodils and things related to that, are actually poisonous to them? Is that true?
I believe so. I'm not 100% on that, but I know they're avoided by the deer.
Well, I mean, they just walk around. I mean, they will walk around your daffodils and eat your tulips.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, one of the things about plants, I'll borrow back something I learned a few years back. I'm always learning. 30 years into it, I'm never done. But when your plants have been in the landscape for a while, they
right.
develop their own defense mechanisms to the toxicities
okay.
that the deer do not like it. You could have a mature azalea
okay.
in your landscape, and they're going to eat all your new azaleas, but they'll stay off the mature one because it's
right.
been in the ground for a while.
Huh. I always wondered if maybe that was because the new, like a young plant is probably more tender. So I was wondering if that was the reason, because the leaves are softer to deer and to.
That's what it appears to be, but
okay.
it's not.
It's
really
not
all
wow.
about the toxicity the plant builds up over time, being in the ground, that becomes something that the deer will stay away from.
Right.
Even an old plant is going to push out new leaves, which are going to be tender and, you know, have that same kind of soft texture.
Right. Right. What about things like that in your in Rutgers Landscape, plants that you sell that are unusual or maybe people haven't heard of or are really great for our area? Any plants that you guys like? Or everybody has, I think, their favorites, but there must be some plants for this area that you guys like. Oh, you're nodding your head, Chris. What?
Every year there's different plants that we bring in.
Yeah.
Every year is different for what we bring in.
Well, also, I think people are always looking at what's trendy, what's hot, and, you know, what's in right now. What are you seeing for spring for this year? What have you gotten into the center? What are you getting into the garden center? What are they pushing for this year that's like the plant?
With the garden center and nursery our size, there is no the plant.
Okay.
There's too many. But we're really pushing, we love katsura trees.
I have no idea what that is. I would order that at a Japanese restaurant.
Fantastic plant. Really does well in our area.
What's it called?
Katsura.
Katsura, okay.
Yeah. And we have those in weeping forms also. But
okay.
just something really unique. We're in the early stages. Our nursery is probably about 70% full. We still have a lot to go.
But yeah, but I would come into your nursery now to get good ideas. If you haven't been to Rutgers Landscape, first of all, the property is beautiful. It actually is very beautiful. And I think it would be a good idea if you guys have, you know, it's Saturday or you want to take a ride and something to come and just see your pots and all the stuff you already have in, because it's very, I would say it's very inspirational. And also for people out there that are maybe just took on a new home, I always say do not spend a dollar on plants until you get a plan.
Absolutely.
If you do nothing else, go to the professionals. Don't waste your money. I know so many people that have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on plants. And you see the people that they have these, you know, they have these evergreens planted, and I see them, you know, my neighbors and all these people, and they're all brown now because they didn't do it the right way and they didn't do it what was right for their zone. So start with a place like Rutgers Landscape. Start with and get a plan, get a general plan, even if it takes you 10 years to do.
It's almost like you can use the metaphor analogy. You don't really want to go to the supermarket while you're hungry.
Exactly.
You know, you just,
exactly.
You can't rush it. You want to make sure you know what you're doing.
Exactly. I think it's very important to
and
do
we
that.
We have plenty of people on staff that are that's what they're there for.
Are there any plants that are that you see out there that are not quite in our zone or are more susceptible to something happening to? Someone told me that when we had the last big superstorm, that the plants that were not indigenous to our zone or area were the ones that really did not do well, and the ones that were the ones that survived. Is that true?
Yes and no. I mean, I have 9 crepe myrtles at my house. And
I like crepe myrtles. You know, I'm seeing crepe myrtles more and more, and they're really not supposed to be in our zone, are they?
They're not. They're more coastal.
Yeah, I see them down the shore, and they seem to be thriving down the shore. Yeah.
And you have that microclimate where you don't get as cold at night. We tend to drop, you know, 30 degrees every night here.
Right.
It's just different. I have 9. I didn't lose one last year.
Wow.
What a terrible winter. One I had to make into a bush.
Wow.
There was a tree. But now I have a gorgeous, I just cut it back, uh-huh. and I waited patiently, and now I have a beautiful 5-foot by 5-foot full blooming red bush of
crepe
myrtle.
Wow. And I really like crepe myrtles, and I never went there because I always thought they're not in our zone. Don't risk it and so on. What about peonies? How do you guys feel about peonies?
Great, great deer resistant plant. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you know, it gives you color. I mean, God forbid it rains your whole year that you wait for this terrific, you know, because it gets
so
heavy.
They're weak stemmed.
Do you recommend some sort of a plant holder when you have peonies? I have a lot of peonies in my my garden, and you know, for 3 days it's like beautiful, and I take every picture you can.
You have to go in there with kid gloves and just like.
Right. No, but I had to actually put, and I don't know if this is good or bad for the plant, but I had to put some sort of metal support because they just get so top heavy.
Yep.
I'm also told with peonies, once they start to open, you should cut them and take them in because they'll just flop. Is that true or not necessarily true?
Well, you don't want them sitting on the ground.
Right.
They have a short season.
Now, right? Yeah.
When they're out, they're the talk of the town, but they're short season.
And what's the difference between a regular peony and a tree peony? Are they the same, or are they a different variety, or what is a tree peony?
Tree peony is a grafted plant that's basically it usually has different stock, and then a peony is grafted to the trunk.
Okay.
And it's going to be a tree.
I've never actually seen them. So does a tree peony have some sort of foliage all year? I mean, obviously it doesn't have...
Well, it's going to defoliate over the winter, of course, like all peonies, but it'll just go dormant.
And then what does it look like in the summertime after it's bloomed?
Because
the tree peony, I don't think it has all... Does it not... From what I've seen, the pictures of it doesn't have all the layers of a regular peony, right?
Yeah.
Like my first year that I planted
it's
peonies...
It's woody.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you know how a mature peony is so many like layers and so full?
Mm-hmm.
Like a tree peony doesn't have that, does it?
A little less of that because it's bred to be a tree.
A tree,
and
right.
And it's a little more woody. So it's not going to have... You hear peonies, you think, wow, tree peony. It's not going to be everything your peony would be that's being created, like you talked about.
Right.
But it is going to give you a lot of the same attributes, but in a tree form.
Let me throw something else at you that's a hot button for me when I'm doing staging of the outside of a house. What do we think of wisteria?
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually finally pruned mine. I wanted to go over a pergola I built 4 years ago.
Okay.
And once it gets established, we have one on Route 31 at our old place, our design studio, that's probably 100 foot, an old 200-foot stone building. And
right.
We built out about 2 feet off the house just to accommodate it, but I love it.
Right.
The flowers, when that comes out, there's nothing beats it.
Got to admit, love it.
It's aggressive.
It's very aggressive. It's very invasive. Can it choke other plants from its root structure?
It'll take over.
Absolutely.
That's
yes.
what I heard. So how do you keep that in check?
Planted in the right spot.
See, I have it on my fence in my backyard that was planted by, again, the woman who was a gardener before me, and it's on the fence, and I can't. It was wrapping around my cherry tree and choking my cherry tree.
Every time you walk away, it grows.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like this has a life of its own.
Fall was when I pruned that, and I pruned it back to woody, and I love it. For the whole winter, the architecture I got, just taking it down, and I really just, I took it back to bare bones, and I love to see the gnarls of just bare branches going up. It's
sometimes gorgeous. I think it's a little evil because you turn your head and it's like going back
but
up again.
But if you want some shade to cover a pergola in your lifetime.
Oh, when it's in bloom, it's just the best thing going.
But even after that, it becomes, for me, it's pretty much like a roof. I mean, I could be out in the rain underneath this wisteria. I don't even feel it.
Exactly. Now, can wisteria be transplanted?
Sure.
Can any plant be transplanted? Because that's a question I get a lot from people, and I certainly don't have the knowledge that you guys have. Are there plants that you just can't transplant? You know, let's say a rhododendron gets woody. You know, any of these plants that you want to transplant them, or they're not doing well in their environment, is there any plants that are just not going to survive?
There's just too many opinions on that. People say, like, Franklinia, which is a famous, lovely tree, can't be transplanted. I was told by some growers that I should never leave them in the field. Worst winter, every one of them lived.
Really?
So you just don't know. I mean, there are plants that are, you know, they hedge on the more difficult side to transplant. The key to transplanting is do it while it's dormant.
So cut while it's dormant and transplant while it's dormant.
Everything while it's dormant. By the time the trees are out in leaf, unfortunately, that's when we sell most of our trees.
Right.
When they're in leaf.
Right.
It's the worst time to plant them.
Right. So we should be on the money. We should be going now. We should get our ideas and we should be looking at that stuff.
The other key is you don't get seduced by the leaves. When we look at trees to select that we're going to dig, we never want to look at trees while they're in leaf. We want to see their bare bones.
Right.
What the structure of it is, exactly. Because the leaves could be so nice and full that you miss the cross branches or other problems with what the tree might have.
There's a plant out there that I see all the time, and I don't know what it is. Maybe you can tell me what it is. I do have it on the property, and once it loses all its leaves, the structure or the stems go from brown to a brilliant red, and it happens in the fall time. And I always cut them, and then I put them in the middle of all my pots as the centerpiece through the winter. What is that called?
You were referring to it earlier, the red twigs.
Yeah, it's a red twig
dogwood.
Yeah. Oh, that's a dogwood.
Yeah,
is it a wild dogwood?
They are. It's a native plant.
Red osier is native, but if you go by our place on 202, we have a beautiful display in the stone wall. That's our feature plant right now because it has Andromeda, low white flowers beneath it, but then there's the bright red stalks that are shooting up. They're gorgeous.
They're the most amazing thing. I mean, you know, it's just great. And then you throw them in the pot. But no, take them out now because we're done with it. I just contradicted myself. What's a good thing to put in the middle when you have big planters? What's a good thing to put in the middle of big planters? I saw last year, because I'm getting ready to do my pots for this year, I saw that people were using small forsythia plants as the center of their pot. Good idea or bad idea?
Yeah, I mean, if it's structured the right way, in the next couple of weeks, you know, they're going to be coming out shortly. So absolutely.
How quickly does the forsythia grow though, and are they going to outgrow the pot quickly?
You mean putting the whole pot in there? Not
what I've seen. What I've seen in plantings is I've seen people use young forsythia as the center of a pot, and then like plants around it.
The plant's going to acclimate to the condition it's in. So I mean, just like we were talking earlier about New York City, like how the trees and plants will do in that area. They'll feel the concrete. I used to live in New York, and I had a balcony, and every balcony was cantilevered, and I had 14 plants on the balcony, and the tree would actually feel the height of that cantilever roof above it about 9 feet, and it would start to grow out rather than up. And no different with roots.
Right.
You can keep a plant like forsythia. It's not that big a plant in a decent sized pot for probably 5 or 10 years.
Okay. Listen, we're about to go to commercial and we'll be back with more of Modern Design.
So let me get started talking.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we are back with more of Modern Design, and I am very fortunate to have the guys from Rutgers Landscape here. I often refer to them because I think they do a terrific job. They have a great showroom off Route 202. What's your address again, guys?
1051 Route 202, Ringo's, New Jersey. Look for the big yellow chairs.
The big yellow chairs. And how can they reach you on the web?
RutgersLN.com. That's Landscape Nursery, LN.com.
Terrific. When we were on break, we were talking about some interesting projects that you guys are taking on. You were telling me a little bit, Jim, about something that you were doing, a cooperative or something.
We have a rain garden. That's we were approached by a Rutgers University landscape architect, extension agent, Toby Horton, and he and I are putting together. We want to bring more scope to stormwater management, rain gardens, sustainability, reuse to the residential clients.
Okay.
In the commercial environment, it's enforced.
Right.
In residential environments, it's not. So we're creating a pretty large, significant rain garden that's right outside of our store.
So what exactly, for our listeners maybe that are not that knowledgeable, what exactly is a rain garden per se? Is it a collection of rainwater? Or?
Yeah, I'll let Chris talk about it.
Okay.
What we're doing at the nursery is we're taking the downspout from one of the gutters on the nursery itself.
Okay.
And we're actually outletting that into the rain garden. A lot of people, when they think of creating a bed,
creating
a planting bed, they think of adding topsoil and,
right,
and raising it up.
Right.
With a rain garden, you're actually doing something different.
Okay.
You're actually digging down a couple of feet, and you're using what's called a rain garden mix. It's a lot of sand and loamy material mixed in with a little bit of organics and a little bit of soil.
Oh, interesting.
And what it does is it allows for drainage.
Okay.
So it The downspout actually outlets into the rain garden on a couple rocks. There's steppers. It's a place for pots, but it's mostly different size rocks, and it's a way to generate more groundwater recharge.
And then it's pretty much then self-sustaining, I would imagine.
It is, correct. And the misconception that I've had in the past and a lot of folks have is that you put one in the wet area. It's the opposite of that. It actually needs to be it's for dry plants over time. But it can be done real beautifully, and that's what we're up to.
Interesting.
Trying to marry some function and beauty together.
Certain plants that are thriving in that kind of environment, or?
Yeah, natives.
Okay.
Carex.
Okay.
I think we had some Amsonia in there.
Every time I do this show and I think I know what I'm talking about with plants, you guys like floor me. I'm like, I don't know anything about plants. Okay.
Yeah, irises.
Irises are a good, I shouldn't interrupt, but I will. Irises are a good deer-resistant plant, aren't they? They don't go near my irises.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Siberian ones are the purple ones. They're really pretty.
Yeah. I interrupted you. Other plants that would work in that environment?
I forget what's in the plan, but most of it's going to be very lush. It's going to be very attractive. It's going to be masses. We're not going to put one of this or one of that. It should look really neat. And there's a lot of little rock outcroppings and benches. It's really a place where we want people to come and sit, ask questions, and wonder what this is. And appreciate
the pots on there. Yeah, really, really, really neat.
You know, I like that it's self-sustaining, and that's the question that I get from anybody I work with on improving their home, is it going to be low maintenance? And one of the reasons I think people don't invest in their property that much in their grounds is they're worried about the maintenance. It's not even the initial cost for doing it. It's the maintenance. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like something that would be low maintenance and self-sustaining and easy to do. I hate to water. I mean, I hate to water.
One of the largest trend, and this is California.
Right.
The poll was done by landscape architects there. The hottest trend, the largest trend, is sustainability in landscapes.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're promoting and featuring with this display.
Let me talk to you about something else that I see. You know, we're as far as design is concerned, we're kind of we always go, the pendulum swings traditional, contemporary, back and forth every decade, if you will. So we have been it certainly varies upon what your house architecture is and what your personal taste is, but we're in sort of a trend now for a while that we've been a little bit more contemporary. And with that, plantings, I think, should also follow suit and be contemporary. So I'm working on a big contemporary project out in Hunterdon County, and they want to do their pots. And I really, I go online and research, and I Google like everybody else, and I'm on Houzz and all the other sites. When I have a contemporary pot or a contemporary shape, I like when it's paired with succulents. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is that kind of a dumb thing to do in our environment, to do seasonal pots or pots in front of a door with succulents, because we're not tropical?
I think it depends on the sun exposure, but if you have it on a southern or a western side of the house where it's getting full sun,
it's doable.
I think you'd be fine, absolutely.
Yeah, there are, and maybe you guys are more versed on the types of succulents, but some of them look like roses. I mean, there's a lot of variety, and they're really interesting, and they're great shapes, I think. You know, when you have a very simple pot and then doing something that's like a succulent that has a lot of texture to it, I think it's really great.
Sedums come in reds, yellows. There's tons and tons of colors that they have. And even the foliage, if they're not in bloom, are really interesting. Pairing those is great together.
I'm going to embarrass myself. Isn't there something called chicks and hens? I'm like learning about... backwards. I have it backwards.
Yeah.
And that's another succulent, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's another great one.
Other succulents that are... attractive or interesting, or do you not do much succulents because of where our zone and where we are?
For the most part, I mean, it's more an interior thing than exterior.
But will they survive if I say, okay, go ahead and let's do it, let's spend the money and let's take our 8 front pots and let's do it all in succulents? Are they gonna survive the season?
I mean, if you want to put them in the ground, absolutely. It's not a plant that I tend to feature in my landscape.
Well, I don't think I would do it in the ground. I would just only do it in pots because of the mass.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that brought up a good point, something that you just said about, we talked about doing stuff in mass. Don't you find that, in general, if you're doing any plantings, especially I see this a lot when people are doing their bulbs, don't you think it's helpful if you do the same types of plants in a mass as opposed to doing all different?
Sure. The idea is that, you know, bringing back that sustainability and maintenance kind of topic, it's so much easier to cut back and take care of 50 type of this specific plant rather than one type here, one type there, and you know, you have, you know, you have to cut them at different times.
Right.
It's much easier and I think much more elegant once they all grow in together.
Exactly. You're good with the interior of the house, but imagine if you had a wall and you decided to paint it 20 colors.
Right.
And it wouldn't look right.
No, exactly. Probably. Exactly.
So we like to use masses as the foundation, you know, for any area. So it's just right. Simpler on the eye. It looks more pleasing.
Right.
And then you can feature plants.
That's why it's good to get a landscape plan, ladies Correct. And gentlemen. That's what it's all about. And even if it takes you 10 years to do it, those are the things that
well,
you
do. Well, the point of it is you should get 15 to 20 years out of a landscape without that much maintenance.
Wow.
If it's done right.
Uh-huh.
If it's really done well and you're maintaining it, you can get 30 years out of your landscape.
Wow.
And that's a good investment.
We're coming down to our last 2 minutes, and I want to make sure that we cover a lot now because we're at the apex of the beginning of the season and all the good things happening. Is there anything that we should be doing right now besides what we've talked about, anything that we should be doing right now for our to have a really good season this year as far as I'm probably too early to mulch, but anything to feed our environment or our soil? Should we be doing anything to amend stuff to get things ready for the season?
The number one thing I think people can do is to get out in their yard and prune. Just
okay.
Get everything cut back.
Okay.
The plants will all benefit from it and really thank you in about 6 weeks.
Wow.
Don't wait 6 weeks until you see green on your plants. Get out there now.
Now is the time
to do
it.
Can't do any damage for
right.
the most part, and just cut everything back a little bit, and that'll just make a healthier, fuller plant for you.
Now let me ask you a question as the weather changes, and I think it's going to change rapidly. Because we're already in April and there's still snow on the ground, does that mean this entire year is going to be late? Like, so now the daffodils are going to be late, and then everything that follows suit going into season will be late?
It is. I mean, there's been years where we have forsythia blooming in February. We have right now.
I've seen that actually.
Witch hazel, which blooms in January,
is blooming
at our farm. So
yeah.
It's a symphony. It'll all start to heat up. Things will be done by June 1st.
Right.
You'll pretty much be guaranteed. You'll be going into your crepe myrtles and your summer plants, and your grasses will come up.
Exactly.
But it'll be condensed.
Exactly. Now, at Rutgers, do you do vegetables at all? It's something that I've never asked you guys.
Lots of vegetables.
Okay.
Yes. Our greenhouse will be filled with vegetables. My mother-in-law from Ukraine is a great fan of ours. She doesn't speak any English, but she uh-huh. loves our vegetables, and I eat the vegetables all summer. She lives with us, so it's
I'm going to come
fantastic.
There for my tomato plants, and I didn't realize that you did vegetables.
Yeah, very big way.
What does the best, I would say probably tomatoes, but what does the best in our New Jersey soil and the ground as far as vegetables are concerned? For me, zucchini, you can't miss. You could be the worst gardener ever.
Cucumbers.
If you throw
cucumbers
too.
Very easy, yes, uh-huh. and they come up quickly.
Uh-huh.
Not potatoes.
Potatoes, I think, would be difficult. And I didn't do personally very well with corn. I think you have to have really...
You need bad soil. Or actually, it's the opposite. Corn makes your soil bad. It just...
But does it take everything out of it?
It takes everything from it.
Is that why corn has to be rotated,
yeah,
the crops? Because
definitely.
It just takes all the nutrients out of the soil. Yeah. All right, we're coming down to the end. Is there anything else that you want to share with our people? For those of you who haven't been to Rutgers, go visit it. If you go, just leave with a pot or a plant. It's a beautiful day out. Go take a look at everything there. It's a beautiful showroom. Anything, Jim, anything else that you want to add?
No, we're open 7 days a week. We're going to be open Easter Sunday for the first time in 10 years, probably, from 10 to 4.
And, okay.
We look forward to seeing everybody this spring. Get out of the house.
And Chris, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, anything from landscape design to pools to you name it. Come on down.
Very good. I really appreciate your time. And next week, my guest is going to be Ralph, who runs my workroom. We're going to talk about window treatments and what's new with window treatments in 2015. I will see you all next week with more of Modern Design. Thanks, and have a good week.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-7000. 6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama's popularity is waning as his presidency head towards lame duck status. This morning's Washington Post ABC News poll shows the president's approval down to 47%, slipping 3 points since January. Nike is joining a growing list of companies to speak out against Indiana's controversial religious freedom law. The company released a statement yesterday saying the law is bad for its employees and consumers. As it stands, the measure would allow businesses to refuse service to gays and lesbians if it conflicts with the religious beliefs of the owners. Severe weather is expected to smack parts of the Midwest and plains today. Meteorologists are predicting wind, hail, and lightning, including the possibility of isolated tornadoes.